You're listening to My Wedding Season, the podcast. I'm your host, Ida Glovic. I photograph intimate weddings and elopements in Europe. This is the show where I provide overwhelmed wedding photographers with the inspiration, tools, and resources needed to build a thriving brand and business. Hi, and welcome back to My Wedding Season, the podcast. Today, Maddie Shine is on the podcast, and what a bright light she is on this cold, rainy day. If you don't know Maddie, she is a visibility expert and business mentor. She has spent over 11 years guiding thousands of women who take up space on the internet. If you're experiencing social media fatigue and are hesitant to keep showing up online to promote your business, Maddie is here to help. In this episode, Maddie helps us overcome our objections and gives us advice on how to generate more inquiries for our wedding photography business by inserting our personality into our online marketing. PicTime is an advanced online gallery platform for photographers offering beautiful galleries, a built-in print store, marketing automation, a slideshow creator, and blogs. They are enhancing their services using AI technology. Depending on the plan, you can use the AI writing assistant for blogs, AI image filter, and AI photo search for clients. If you've been tuning into this podcast long enough, you already know that I'm a huge fan of creating SEO-optimized content in the form of blogs to attract potential clients. PicTime now allows you to easily use your images that are already uploaded in a gallery to create a blog post. And then, with just a few clicks, you can easily generate SEO-optimized text for your blog. Don't worry about it sounding machine-generated because you can always go in and make changes for it to sound like you. It is just there to assist you in the process. And now, you also have the ability to quickly filter through images in your galleries. This is particularly helpful when you want to share images with vendors after wedding. Or, you can use it to select images to share on social media. Make sure you check out their newly revamped mobile app. Your clients are now also able to search through the gallery to find people or by using keywords. This feature allows them to easily share images and has proven to increase the likelihood of print orders because it is directly linked to the store. And the cool thing is that multiple languages are supported, including Spanish, French, German, and Portuguese. When you're ready to upgrade to a paid plan to gain access to all these features, be sure to use the code AIDA, A-I-D-A, to earn 1 month free.
Maddie, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It is such a pleasure to see you again. I feel like it's almost been a year since we got formally introduced in person in England. And please, for those of the people who don't know you, introduce yourself, tell us what you do, who you are, take it away.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. And yes, I can't believe it's been almost a year since we met at Snap. I am Maddie Shine. And that's not certainly not my birth name, but I feel like it should be at this point. It just suits me so well. I have been running my business now for 12 years, and I help people with... Well, basically, I'm like a small business mentor, if you like. And so I teach people mainly about visibility. I work with women who run their own businesses. And I have worked with so many wedding photographers in those years. My goodness. For a while there, particularly when I first started out, I basically entirely focused on the wedding industry. So I got to look at pretty pictures all day. It was great. that's kind of a bit about my business. And here we are. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing. And especially since you have so much experience, like dealing with wedding photographers, you know how we are. We're a sensible bunch, you know?
Yes.
Encouragement and guidance. And, you know, especially talking about visibility. Like, I feel like we have social media fatigue. I think I can speak for the majority of wedding photographers because, like, of course, we're running these businesses. We're focused on taking these photos, getting clients. But like the way the shift has happened with Instagram, for example, you know, it's no longer like that easy post a photo. It gets that reach. There's so much more needed from us. And sometimes I feel like our tank is kind of low.
Yeah.
You know, or even like, it's just also a lot of wedding photographers have also tendency to be a little bit introverted and are not as comfortable to really kind of show up in front of the camera, right? Is that camera as like the protective barrier.
Oh, yes.
World. So there's a lot of, you know, challenges for people to really make themselves visible in order to get clients, right? And I feel like that's like what you help your clients with. You know, we're going to talk through it, but if you can just start us off with a bit of encouragement, because a lot of wedding photographers are struggling with bookings, but also to be like, you know what, this is the best way to really market your business. Like, I'll just leave the rest to you, but like, kind of kick us off with that.
Yeah. So first of all, there's a lot of talk at the moment around social media fatigue, like you said, and oh, clients are ghosting me. And I think that what's really happening is what I often see, particularly with photographers, is that we put so much of our, you know, well, we as business owners, but photographers in particular, but so much of the self-worth into what they do. And that's no bad thing, because obviously otherwise, really, and that's otherwise you wouldn't run your own business, right? You'd go and work for someone else. So like we want everything, we want all the independence, we want all the freedom, and we want absolutely guaranteed results, whatever we do. That's what we do. So yes, please, I would like entirely risk-free marketing. I would like all my decisions made for me, but also complete control over all those decisions. Thank you very much. And, you know, like, and then we're sort of putting ourselves into this box where it's exhausting. No wonder we've got social media fatigue, decision fatigue. No wonder we feel rubbish about marketing in general, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're already putting ourselves into that box. Now, what you need to do is, I could sit here and go, right, this is how you create a marketing plan. You all know you need to find a niche. You all know that what you need to do to put the keywords in the right places. That's not actually the biggest problem. The biggest problem is you believe that everyone else is doing that, and so you're not doing it. Not you personally, but everybody listening, right? So photographers sometimes come to me, oh, Maddie, you've already taught all my competitors these techniques, so I'm not going to do them.
Whoa, okay. I didn't think that was like an objection people had. Interesting.
Yes, for sure. Even if they have said out loud to me, when I say it to people, people are like, oh yeah, maybe I did actually have that on a subconscious level. Because, you know, I'll teach certain techniques, whatever they are, SEO, marketing, whatever. And then people get, oh no, everyone else is already doing them. I want something else that's different. Well, first of all, there's a reason those people are doing them, because that's where your audience is. Your clients are hanging out on Instagram, so you need to be on Instagram. And, you know, they're on TikTok. Sorry, gang, they are. So if you're not into TikTok, you need to be getting into TikTok. Lots of photographers like to complain that Instagram favors reels over photos, for example.
That's the big one. Like, that's the one that we're like, I have it too. I won't lie, even though I'm like, okay, I need to like do this, double down, you know. But even getting, like, I feel like we have to start with that mindset to kind of even just, you know, go for it, right? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it goes back to that attaching your self-worth to whatever you put out there. So I see, particularly with photographers, you painstakingly choose the beautiful image to post on Instagram that day, for example. Yeah. You're like, yes, the bride looks beautiful. Look at the light. The light is amazing. You've chosen so well. You've edited and you've spent so long over these damn photos. And then you post it and you're like, it only got 30 likes, or it only got 3 likes, or whatever it is. And where are the inquiries? The inquiries should be, like, even if you're not saying it out loud, you're thinking it. You're like, why aren't the
inquiries? For sure,
right?
Yes.
And so then the thing is, then you're like, but I put so much myself into choosing that photo and posting that photo and thinking of the stupid caption and blah, and writing the right hashtags and the time of day. And it's like, this is a free platform, guys. This is a free platform that, yes, okay, that for all the other cons of using a free platform, yes, they collect our data, all that jazz, we still get to promote our work, and we still have to try different ways to see how that happens. the reason there are now so many different factors involved is because there are so many more people doing it. And it's not just, obviously, you're not just competing against photographers, you're competing against all other Instagram users, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So it feels like a lot. Yeah, so what we need to do is we need to actually do it more in order to get used to that feeling and then therefore not pour absolutely everything we do into every single post. Because sometimes what I see is, oh, I'm not going to post very often because there's no point. You know, that kind of attitude. I see that a lot and I completely get it.
It does come to our minds. Yeah, sure.
It comes to our minds, for sure. But what we actually need to be doing is, well, okay, so I posted this at lunchtime. Maybe I try the next one at tea time. Okay, I try this angle of the couple. Maybe I try a more scenic one this time. Mm-hmm. What I would suggest you do is basically experiment more. That's what you need to be doing. And when we're willing to experiment more, we don't have that huge attachment to whatever we're posting. We still have an attachment, don't get me wrong. It's still your beautiful work. Everyone's very like ooh and ah when they see it. However, we need to experiment more. And that's the only way I see that you're going to be able to, you know, do the whole thing, like being more consistent and, you know, really get analytical about when to post and what to post and everything. No one's ever going to get there unless they actually experiment more, because what all the experts say, you know, if I could sit here and sell a blueprint, like this is how you do Instagram and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Great. If that works, fabulous. But it's definitely not going to work for everyone.
No,
it's definitely not work for everyone. And it's definitely not even going to work for all certain types of photographers, like hipster photographers or fine art photographers or whatever they might be, right? So I do think that that's the first step. You need to be willing to experiment more, trial different ideas. Okay.
Yes,
yeah. How does that sound?
No, it sounds good in the sense that, like, having that detachment to the results, right?
Yeah.
And just seeing, like, you know, when scientists are doing an experiment, right? They have a hypothesis, they're testing it. And then how many failures do they have till they say, oh, this is the one, right? Yeah. To figure it out. Like, they're not having, like, feelings of defeat necessarily, or maybe they are, but kind of having this kind of, you know, it's like you said, because photography is an art and it's like an expression, there's something very vulnerable about it, right? And that's kind of like why the struggle is there. And also it's like, you know, when I talked about like the fatigue, it's also literally about the exhaustion of like all the things we have to do, and then that's another thing on the list. But at this point, I mean, I feel like a lot of photographers are at the point that, hey, if you're not getting clients, that means you're very soon not having a business. So that has to become on top of that priority list, where, hey, your focus needs to just be on like generating those inquiries. They need to come in, and we just need to do what we need to do. Obviously, yes, there's the path of like being found on Google and the whole SEO thing, which I've been a huge fan of for years. But like, if people are just starting to build that, they have to realize it's not something that's going to work from today till tomorrow. That's the long game.
Yeah.
It has, you know, the payoff is also long term. So I feel like, yes, work on that as well. But if you're trying to get bookings for this wedding season, which is not far away from now, I feel like we need to actually really focus on being very visible on social media. That's my thoughts on it, and just kind of taking that first step of like having the mindset of saying, okay, I need to do this. How do I go about it? And that's perfect time to talk to you about it. I'm so glad. Yeah. And I know that you talk about like personality in marketing. So if we can chat a little bit about why we should put our own personality in there, how we can do it, and just talk to us like we've never heard about this before.
Yes, absolutely. So I have met, I'm going to say at this point, thousands of wedding photographers. Okay.
Ooh,
yes.
Nice.
Whether that's online or in real life. Like when I say, like, you know, it's got to the point now where when my friends go to weddings, they'll go, don't worry, I'll check who the photographer is. And I'll go and ask them, do they know Maddie Shine? Because it got silly at one point. Like it was just like, oh, everyone was like, yes. Oh, yes, I know her. Like, blah, blah, whatever. And it was fun, right? So when I say this from experience, like I've never met a boring wedding photographer. in real life. Like when I've had it, whenever I've had a conversation, you are wonderful and creative and interesting and you have stories to share. I'm not saying like, you know, that there's introverts and extroverts. There's all sorts of different types, sure, but I've never met a boring one, right? But the thing is, what you're doing is you're hiding behind that camera, okay?
Yes, and you're
taking these beautiful photos and you're saying, well, don't my photos speak for themselves? That's what I want, because you put so much of yourself into those beautiful photos. I hear you. However, what you probably also get is after the weddings, you probably get your couples coming up to you going, oh, everyone was talking about how much they loved you. And, you know, and like you were having great chats with my great aunt Sue and, you know, on my bridesmaid wants to hire you and all of these kinds of things, right? So what I am trying to encourage, and what I love to encourage wedding photographers to do, is start that process earlier. So this is where good old videos come in. And yes, and so this is where you can start showing that personality sooner. So it doesn't mean that you need to dye your hair blue like I have. It doesn't mean that you need to change your person, you know, change your personality. What you do need to do is show people who you are. Now, again, you might be thinking, but I'm already showing them with my photography. Like, why do I need to do more? This is what it comes down to. It comes down to marketing as a conversation. Now, that sounds like a weird corporate speak thing to say. So let me explain. A conversation, is a conversation just me talking at you? No, it's two people talking. So it's listening to what your audience wants to hear. So when Great Aunt Sue is going, oh my goodness, I loved Ada. Like, she was so lovely. Oh, I bet the photos are going to look great. Let me order an album, all that jazz, right? What we want to do is want to start that process earlier. So you want to be sharing things that you have been, things that you know that you deal, how you deal with your clients, questions that your clients ask you after they become clients. And I do think that a lot of photographers are still holding back going, well, I'm not going to share my gems unless they give me their $2,000 or whatever it is.
I know what you mean, yes.
Right?
And
yes, you can write blogs with tips and tricks till the cows come home. But if, particularly if writing isn't your thing, because you're a photographer and writing often isn't such a favorite with photographers, then this is where you can use those videos. And you can be talking to the camera as if they are, you know, Bob and Sue, whose wedding you just photographed and you absolutely loved it. And you can, again, experiment with what the audience wants to hear. And I do see that when people are doing that, when particularly when photographers are doing that, it's like, oh, that's what they look like. Oh, I don't feel so nervous now. Oh, you know, I know that they'll make me feel at ease. Like, I'll definitely inquire now. Because the other thing is, we completely underestimate our lurkers and stalkers. I don't know whether you...
I'm so glad you brought that up. Because that's the thing, especially on Instagram, right?
Yes.
A lot of people watching, they're not interacting. They know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're just waiting for the right time.
Yes.
Or you don't even know who they might tell about you. Like, it's just happened to me, you know, a handful of times enough where I was just surprised. It felt like it came out of the blue. Yes. But they've been there for a while.
Yes, absolutely. And so I love to talk about lurkers and stalkers. I have one of my members, Danny Beach, who's a wedding photographer. And I remember when we were talking about this, we started working together about 2 years ago, 3 years, but in lockdown, I can't remember what time is anymore.
Right, all good.
Yeah, you know. And she was like, oh my God, yes, lurkers and stalkers. And then she was more excited to experiment in different ways with her content, and then was like, oh, actually, someone, like, I got an inquiry as soon as I did like the first reel after we spoke, because actually she just was like, oh, this is what kind of encouraged them to finally get in touch, you know, because we don't like it and comment and stuff like that as much as we used to. It's a bit,
it's
like,
true.
do you remember, like, back in the good old days when blogging first started, and everyone would comment on each other's blogs? Do you remember this?
Oh my gosh, yes, I do.
Yeah, Oh my God, it was such a thing. And photographers went nuts for it because that was how people got backlinks back to their website. If you
That's
commented
right.
on someone else's blog, you got a comment and it was great. And then no one comments on blogs anymore. No one does that.
Not at all.
No, no. So it, I feel like I'm seeing the same thing with Instagram. We're not liking and commenting in the same way. What I am getting is more chats in my stories. So if you're not employing stories, you need to be chatting there. I find it's a great little sort of, I use it like a little living room. You know, come in, have a cup of tea, have a pint, sit down, let's have a chat. It feels much more intimate. And it's a great way if you like to separate the feed where you've got your beautiful photos and your sort of more formally structured content, if you like. And then stories can be a place where you hang out. A lot of photographers still aren't doing that. They're just still sharing their photos to their stories and they're not allowing us in, basically. So we're going to
So
go back to that conversation point again. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've just been so busy, but in the past when I've been showing up on stories, it feels more like a safe space, to be honest. I kind of know who's there. You know what I mean? Doesn't feel as exposed.
Yes.
And like, I feel like the hesitation I have with reels or anything is, it feels like it's sent out into the abyss, into nowhere. You don't know what's going to come back to you. And then even more so on TikTok, I know a lot of photographers, there's a hesitation to go on TikTok because your video can end up anywhere. Okay, so there's a photographer who announced her starting price on TikTok, which is $8,500.
Right.
And for that, she got a lot of backlash, and backlash not just criticizing her pricing, but they went personal. They went, that came from just people from anywhere around the world and also from a photographer. So there is something a bit scary for for photographers to put themselves out there on such platforms where it can land anywhere, right? And I will admit I have that as well, you know, where I'm like, okay, you know, this could land on the wrong side of TikTok, or Reels just kind of feels out there, like even though Reels feels better. I just wish like stories was more, you know, really shared more, where it just feels like it's a safer space.
So I've heard of similar stories, and I would not wish that level of attention on anyone. That is awful. That is a horrible, horrible thing. And of course, we don't want that to happen to us.
No.
And that is a real and valid fear, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I remember when that fear was very prevalent on Instagram, when Instagram stories first became a thing. So it was before Reels. So stories became a thing, I think, about 7 years ago.
Right.
And people were really worried about going viral for the wrong reasons on there and all sorts of things. And I can tell you from my personal experience, I have gone viral for the wrong reasons on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Years ago, I didn't have whatever this wedding photographer had, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And I was being torn apart, and I won't go into reasons why. It really doesn't matter, because the point is, I thought I was doing something beneficial. Many people disagreed. Many people also came to support me. And then I was forced into like issuing this public apology. And then people were like, oh my God, this has gone way too far. Like, it just became a thing. And I was like, you know what? Let's just forget the whole thing.
Yeah, it kind of snowballs sometimes, hey?
Yeah. And then my nervous system took some time to recover. And that's that. The thing is, I cannot tell you how many posts I've ever put out in my life. I can't tell you. Emails, Facebook posts, Facebook lives, Instagram posts, Reels, now TikToks, because I'm actually on there now.
Okay, I'm going to follow you.
Oh, yeah. Maddie Shine 50. That's me.
I'm going
to get you. And like, I can't tell you how many pieces of content I've put out in 12 years.
Yeah.
I've only had one instance where things went sour, right? And so basically I know why it happened. I hadn't fact checked and whatever, and I think that basically what we need to be considerate of is our willingness to on what we share. So so rather than using that as a reason, oh well, I don't want to show up because I might show up and get trolled, think about what you're sharing. some people just have way too much time in their hands, unfortunately. And I, you know, I and people will just leave weird comments sometimes, and that's just, you know.
You know, there are those kind of harmless ones you can type past, right?
You
Which
can
is
block.
Okay. Yeah.
But just thinking about the purpose of your content. So I probably wouldn't advise like sharing prices.
No, never ever at that point.
Without knowing all the details, I probably wouldn't advise that. But what I would advise is talking to the camera as if they are my favorite couple in the whole world.
Ooh.
Like, as soon as I started doing that, because I remember when Instagram stories first became a thing, like I said, 7 years ago, and people were like, Maddie, with your personality, you need to be doing video. And I've been running my business about 5 years at this point, and I would just start crying. I was like, oh my God, no. What if people like hate how I sound? What if people don't like how I look? At the time, I didn't have blue hair. Not that that makes much difference, but like, you know, like I just.
I've seen that photo of you, remember, from Snap.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very old.
What were you holding again? Was it a deer?
Oh
or
my
some...
God, the unicorn. Like, no, no,
it was a unicorn.
It was a sparkly reindeer. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, my first ever headshot.
Yeah.
And I just think that I had all these reasons why I didn't want to do it. And I think that that's what people are doing when they hear these horror stories. Because they're like, oh, that I can add to my list of justified reasons what not to market myself.
True.
And I get it, because what we want is we want risk-free marketing.
Yeah, it puts our defenses up. It's like it just doesn't feel as safe, right?
Of course, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then look at the pros.
Yeah.
Look at the, it's not even like weighing out the pros and cons, because our minds aren't logical and our minds are emotional.
No.
But look at the pros. You could get a couple to go, do you know what? I work with a wedding venue, for example, up in Lake District. I know it's not a photographer, but it's a wedding venue, Lake District, Cote Howe. And they joined TikTok. No, that was it. A bride told them to get on TikTok because she was like, I want to post a TikTok about you. Are you on TikTok? And she was like, no, I probably should join.
Yeah.
And so she said to me, Maddie, shall I join? I was like, yes, do it. And so then she went and joined. Anyway, this video by the bride went wild.
So
and then
good.
She got things off the back of it. Great.
Wow.
So, you know, like, it wasn't even like I've got to have a clearly defined marketing strategy. And, you know, all of this, that, and the other thing. It really is sometimes F around and find out. You know,
just do it, right? Like, it's the whole overthinking that holds us back, right? We're
for
just
sure.
there trying to perfect it or stuff. But it's like, what did they say about perfection? It's just fear in fancy shoes. Was that Elizabeth Gilbert? There's like a saying that, you know, it's just masked.
Yes.
But
It's either Brené Brown or, sorry.
One of them. It's somebody out there.
Yeah, it's
And
somebody
we know
wonderful
that because
out
of
there.
Social media.
Well, for when I say about like, because perfectionism, and we really, really want to be perfect, because again, it comes back to that risk-free. We don't want to fail. But we haven't, two things there. We haven't decided what success means. So you know, whether that comes down to an Instagram post, or whether that comes down to maybe, you know, lots of people don't like to have even bookings goals, things like that. They're just like, I'm going to see how many bookings I can possibly get. And then, you know, like, some people, everyone's different, right?
Sure.
But the other thing is, I forgot what the other thing was now. I've got really into like,
you're fine. You have so much to say. That's why.
I have so much to say. I'm neurodivergent, so I have about 10 different threads going on
you're
in my
totally
head.
Fine.
That was it. So I think done is better than perfect. That's what I like to say. So when we get hung up on, oh, we want this to be perfect, we want chef's kiss, the right photo, the right hashtags, the right caption. For what? The right caption for what? The right caption to make, like, we want to say something about the photo. We want to put some related hashtags on it. We want to see how well it does. If it doesn't do so well, maybe try it again in about a month's time or a week's time at a different time of day with maybe a slightly different caption. I think that, you know, we get caught up on, this is why I say we haven't decided what success means. We haven't even decided what perfect means.
No. And isn't it subjective?
Completely. Completely.
That's right.
I think, you know, what's perfect for one couple will be entirely wrong for another. So
That's so
actually what we're
true.
trying to do is we're trying to please everybody all the time, and we're trying to get everybody's attention, but actually we don't really want everyone's attention. We just want the couple who's going to book us. So actually, like, you know, money please. You know,
You
it's
know.
actually we're doing ourselves such a disservice because
Yeah.
there's all this overthinking going on in our minds.
Yeah.
We just need to post, and then if that doesn't work, we'll post something else. And then we actually need to be thinking about, okay, well, what is it that Bob and Sue last said to me when I shot their wedding? Oh, they really like my shots of flowers. Great. So why don't I start sharing like a whole reel of my favorite bouquet shots that I've done?
Love
Or one of
that.
my, you know, oh, I really want to do more elopements. That mountain elopement I did was amazing. Why don't I like do like a little, I'll use those reels templates. My God, they're a godsend, aren't they? I love templates. So it sets
Yeah.
it all to music for you. You just put in your photos, add some text, Bob's your uncle, off you go. Like
If
it's done.
you're in Germany, because we're not allowed to use the music, we can get sued. So
Oh.
we have like hurdles. So terrible.
No.
Yeah, it's so awful. So for me, I'm like, if I could just freely use it without any consequences, great. But I have to think, oh no, I have to get licensed music that I somehow put together, which I can, but it's time consuming. And then it's not trending audio, so it's not really gonna get picked up. Oh, this is a whole other
Okay.
thing. But
Okay.
that's a
So,
side note for my German listeners.
no, absolutely. But other countries have the same issue because I
Oh.
was talking to one photographer who was in Italy, and they have this with Google Analytics. They're not allowed.
Oh.
I think they're not allowed Google Analytics. I think that's right. And so it's like, how do we track whether things are going right? And I'm like, okay, well, surely the Italian government have thought about this. So they will have another solution. There'll be some kind of plugin or some kind of something where you
Right.
can track at least some numbers.
Yeah.
But no, going back to the you're not allowed the music thing, voiceover is your friend here.
Yeah.
Voiceover, for sure. Voiceovers are becoming a really good thing to use on reels. Obviously, it depends what you're saying, but you can talk us
Yeah.
through the images. Like if you're doing a like a roundup of someone's wedding in a
Yeah.
reel, and you're like, oh, Bob and why do I keep going to say Bob and Sue? I don't even know who Bob and Sue are.
It doesn't matter, Bob and
Bob,
Sue.
Bob and Sue, Bob and Sue. Oh, I love meeting Bob and Sue. Oh, they were so lovely. Because again, we can hear your enthusiasm in your voice. Oh,
That's
Bob and
right.
Sue were just so lovely. They were such a quiet couple, but they were so sweet. And they really wanted this photo in their parents' garden. So I was really, oh, here it is. Oh, look. And then, you know, this kind of thing. Like, walk us through it. And you can now have 3-minute reels. So there's plenty of time to do that.
So good. I actually really enjoy voiceovers, especially on TikTok, you know, like when they're like cooking and
Yes.
stuff. Some people have such a soothing voice. Like, I just watch this. And for me, I mean, I had a conversation with my husband this morning and I was just like, yeah, you know, I never post videos on our Instagram in that sense where I'm talking because our main client base is, you know, German speakers.
Right.
And even though I speak German, it's not my first language, you
Okay.
know. Still, you know, I still make mistakes. I have a very strong accent. And I know it's in my head, like in person, I have no problem. I will talk to anybody. But there is something about like online, I don't know, where I'm just like, I have such a hesitation. I'm just like, I don't know. It's a big thing for me. I've never done it. I wonder if I'm gonna get my mindset enough to actually do it. But I know that's the obstacle, huge obstacle for me.
Okay, so let me tell you, when Instagram for stories first became a thing, like I was saying earlier, and when people suggested to me, Maddie, you should be doing video, and I would cry and I'd be like, no, that's not for me. And then I started doing it. Like I threw myself in the deep end. I don't know what I was thinking. I did an Instagram story takeover. Remember when they were a thing? Like you would go to someone else's.
Yes, I
Yeah.
did enjoy. Some people really did good takeovers and they
Yeah.
grew massively, like when they would get like on one of those feature accounts and
Yeah.
yeah, good
Yeah.
stuff.
I did an Instagram story takeover with an American like creative blog who had like 100,000 followers. Like it was huge, right?
Yeah.
And so I went into the Instagram story takeover. And do you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely bugger all. Nothing happened. I think I maybe had 5 new followers from it.
Wow.
I shared SEO tips throughout the day. I really thought, oh, my English accent might be kind of cute and they might like it and all that kind of stuff. No.
Oh.
But anyway, it was fine. Like, I was like, what a lesson, because I was so worried about it. And I really, really got, you know, got caught up in like the overthinking of it. And then after that, I was like, well, I might as well just go back to my own Instagram account and just start talking and see what gives. And then people started talking back to me. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Yeah. And I really like this. So then I definitely would say that's where I'm sort of like, I call it my my sausage rolls. Like I say that everybody has like a bit that they really like on the buffet table of being visible.
Right.
And so like I really like Instagram stories. I like chatting away on there.
Okay.
And then, so, but I still had this thing like, oh, I sound like Emma Thompson, and no one, not everyone likes Emma Thompson. And
or many love her.
Right. And I adore her, like, obviously, but yeah. Like, I was just like, oh no, lots of people find her very annoying. And, you know, people aren't going to want to listen to me. I'm too posh. People don't like posh people. Blah, blah.
Only the UK.
I mean, honestly, right? I mean, you know, now, thanks to Bridgerton, I don't sound posh at all. But like, no.
But I know there's a whole thing with accents and stuff yeah. there. Like, I'm actually super fascinated how you can, like, differentiate. Like, I find it super entertaining. Love it.
But it's funny because actually what I thought was the reason I was holding myself back actually wasn't at all. I was just like, I'm just using this in my list of justified reasons to try and do that risk-free marketing. Mm-hmm. And actually when I started going, you know what, I'm just going to experiment a bit more.
Yeah.
And if I don't like it, I can delete it. Or if I, you know, if I don't like my makeup or I've got something in my teeth or whatever it might be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But going back to you, I think that why don't you just try it?
I should just try it. And I'm not one who's really too self-conscious, you know, I'm usually like easygoing, but I just noticed this is one thing that's held me back. Like, I don't know, like if it's in English or whatever, I'm just like, whoever, who cares, whatever. I feel natural. But I don't know. I think it's just maybe the easiest thing is just to throw myself into it and who cares, right? And just do it. But I'm overthinking. It's just the whole thing. Like, I don't mind being vulnerable on the podcast. You know, all this stuff is fine. But there, I don't know, a switch happens. But I feel like that's how people who are listening to this could probably relate. You know, they have something that's just kind of like that thing, right?
Yes. Honestly, I think that we have been so trained not to speak up, not to have the courage to have a voice.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons in our societal training that it does feel scary, particularly as women.
Yeah.
That to show up and to use our voices and, oh God, what if we get hate and my nervous system already feels quite shot to pieces and I'm already exhausted. And I completely understand.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Find other solutions. I'm not going to like make people things they don't want to do, because otherwise it comes through. You know, it's a bit like, oh, I'm not a writer, but Maddie says I have to blog, and then the blog isn't very good, and then, you know, and then it doesn't provide results anyway because the passion wasn't there. Like there's like no adjectives or whatever, or like they didn't include the client testimonial, or you know, like they just showed no enthusiasm. They're like, I've been told to blog, so here's Bob and Sue's wedding, here's some photos.
Right.
You know, and I just think that's also a really big key part of being visible, is that we do have to find, okay, if we have a big block on one part, what are we going to have to lean in more to the other parts that are working, or experiment in other ways? Because again, there's no blueprint that will work for every wedding photographer out there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you mean by the visibility buffet, right? Like
yes.
It's about kind of like, you need to do something.
Yes.
You need to eat something. It doesn't have to be the entire thing.
And no, just it's impossible.
Like figuring out what works for you. But like, in any case, if people don't know about you, they're just not going to book you. So it's that, you know, no, like, trust, right? So let's get known.
Yes.
By being visible at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think that when it comes to that no, like, and trust formula, we so associate it with people who have big platforms. Oh, we can't be really trusted online until we have 10,000 followers. Do you remember when it was like used to be a thing? Like, unless you have 10,000 followers on Instagram, you know, blah, blah, it's whatever. Like, you,
right.
No, I don't have 10,000 followers on Instagram. I do okay.
Do I?
You know, like, it's just, I do think that when it comes to that no, like, and trust factor. Yeah, we do think, oh no, but that's for people who sort of want to be, you know, the next seven figure business coach,
entrepreneur,
whatever. We don't think about it like, actually, those clients, those lovely couples who put their trust in you and give you their $2,000 or $8,500 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They want to get to know you as a person. They want to know that you, oh, great, you also have a big dog. I also have a big dog. Like, let's exchange dog photos. That's cute. Yeah. You know, like, or like, oh, you like Wes Anderson movies? Great. So do I. And we'll put it on our about page and we'll hope that they see it. But no, 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 no. You need to be like, bring this stuff forward so that even if you feel, oh God, I keep going on about the fact that I love Wes Anderson. Great. There's millions of Wes Anderson fans out there who dying to have a wedding photographer in the style of Wes Anderson. I'm going to a Wes Anderson exhibition on Friday. That's why. But I think that we really do. We hold back because we're like, oh, but what if they don't like it? And actually, by thinking, it goes back to my point of listening to what your past clients loved and what they commented on, right?
Okay.
It's that conversation.
Yeah, that's the key. I love that. And like how you mentioned earlier, kind of having in your head, like you're talking to, you know, that couple that you love when you're on video and putting yourself in that like frame of mind. I think that's really the key. I love that.
So good. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, what is your take on this wonderful word, authenticity? Because what does that mean to you? Because, I mean, there are different parts of me that could be authentic to me. I mean, I could totally not be like in the mood. There's so much stress, but that doesn't mean that is the energy I want to bring on video and market my business, right? So,
yes,
you know, kind of explaining that it's not being inauthentic, at least in my point of view, if like, you know, every time you're on video, you're trying to bring that energy. That's the energy you want to show your clients because, you know, that's just a part of you. Like, can we just talk through it? Because I feel like authenticity is something that's kind of not fully understood out there.
Yes, absolutely. So in my mind, authenticity is matching what you say you're going to do with what you do, with what you deliver. That's what authenticity is to me. So for example, there's a photographer that recently went viral. Well, actually, because another photographer was calling them out. Saying this photographer, I won't name them, uses entirely AI images on their website and their prices start at $2,000, even though they haven't actually got any client photos. You can tell they're AI.
Yeah.
And so this other photographer was like, what the heck? Like, you know, so they started calling this photographer out, and then the photographer made their account, their entire Instagram account was also AI. Like, it was, the whole thing was wild, right?
That's been a thing, yes.
Yeah, of course. I thought you might. So,
yeah.
So obviously that's not very authentic because what they're actually going to deliver is not going to look like what they're advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I've always really enjoyed about going back again to videos in my particular case, and also increasingly when I see photographers actually doing video, is I know what they're going to be like when I meet them for the initial Zoom call. I know what they're going to be like when they shoot my wedding or when we do that pre-wedding shoot. I know what they're going to be like when they speak to my great aunt. So I don't think that there's anything more to authenticity than that. I think that if you're being, because like I could say you've got to be true to yourself, but then you're thinking, have I just been putting on an act for some of my clients? Because sometimes some of us have done.
You know, that's kind of like, I feel like where people get a little stuck. And like one, light bulb moment I had was I was watching a video with Seth Godin, and he said, I don't want like my doctor to be authentic. You know, I want the doctor to perform what he's supposed to perform, regardless of he is sad or happy or whatever, you know? It's kind of like, who are you? Like, what did you promise? Like you said, you know? And delivering on that, and that's it. And I'm like, that is such a fair assessment. You know what I mean?
Completely.
Because for me, you know, life happens. Sometimes you are on a wedding day and like something might have happened in your personal life. But at that point, it's not fair to your couple and their whole guests and everything to bring that energy. Sometimes it's hard, but it's at least I try to leave things at the door and yes. then come with that positivity, because I mean, they didn't only book the photos, they booked how I am and that, you know, how I'm going to be treating them as well. So I feel like it's not me being inauthentic, but it's me delivering on the promise, that brand promise, that business promise. And in the same way, I think we could also think, okay, when I show up on video and I'm posting that, I need to be coming with that energy that I want my clients to know the energy I will have on the wedding day, for example.
For sure, for sure. So that does not mean that you're like, oh, you come and maybe you're a very quiet person. You know, I've met lots of quiet photographers, lots of quiet introverts.
Yeah.
They're very thoughtful. They, you know, they do create beautiful photography. And they'll be like, but Maddie, I really, you know, I'm not going to start talking to camera. It's just not my style. And my couples aren't, you know, they're very camera shy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. Use beautiful music. Use, you know, show off your big sweeping photography with your, with beautiful poetic captions, you know. It's not, this is why I say there's no blueprint. Like, that's authentic to that type of photographer.
Exactly.
Right.
And the type of clients they're booking anyway, just has to, you know, it needs to keep consistent throughout. You know, for me, obviously, when I show up like this, I wouldn't, a couple who really wants a fly on the wall kind of photographer who's just, would probably just not book me. I'm not out and like seeking attention at a wedding at all.
Yeah.
But you're just gonna at least feel my presence. I'm very smiley, even on weddings and stuff like that. So that needs to come through. But some people are just gonna want someone who's just really, you know, low key, very, very low key, you know, and that's
absolutely fair. And absolutely. So it's that matching what you're promising with what you're delivering. And that starts right from the first time they ever see you online. Yeah.
It's Oh my gosh, we covered a lot.
Yeah.
Maddie, just cover a few things that you are offering. creatives, I guess, a small business owners in general, right? Yeah. Are your clientele. Talk to us about what's coming up, your visibility membership community. Let's chat a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I host a community of women business owners. So it's basically, it's everyone from hypnotherapists to photographers to wedding venues to wedding planners to artists, designers. Like, it's a real melee of different types of creatives. Very interesting. And so it's an online community called Visible Vibes, and I teach monthly trainings and I host Q&A calls, and there's a lovely Facebook community where you get to ask questions. And I even have sessions like tech clinics where you get to, you know, unpick all your stupid tech questions with your website to want to make you want to throw your laptop out the window, you know, all that jazz.
And I know.
Exactly. And so then you can also access like a members portal that I've just spent 8 months designing. Like I decided to stop using software for it and just create my own. It was a mad project. I thought it was going to take a month and it took 8 months. It was wild.
Yes, that's amazing.
Thank you. So you can, in there you can access over 300 hours of trainings, tutorials, resources on all sorts of aspects, everything from AI to SEO, from setting yourself up on Google to what to say on your website to your business model training, like everything's on there, right? So it's really how to run a small business. It really is everything. Yeah,
and you just keep updating it, and like it's a monthly membership where they can keep on accessing, and like there's also time with you. Is it like group coaching monthly, or what else do you have? Like,
so basically you get four live sessions, like a group coaching setting a month. So you get the live training, you get the Q&A call, you get the tech clinic, and then we also have something called take action sessions now, which is basically where I give you space, like it's sort of like co-working, I guess, but I give you prompts if you don't have tasks that you want to be cracking on with. So I give you three marketing prompts, and they could be, I'll give you a blog title and that you put in your own service in or whatever, I give you, you know, a task to do on Instagram, like turn your latest blog post into three Instagram posts a reel, a carousel, a single post, you know, things like that. And we've also, of course, been talking a lot about AI recently. In
yeah,
there,
it's how very relevant.
Oh yeah, and how that sort of complements what you're already doing in your marketing. But not, I don't just host Visible Vibes. I also, by the time this podcast will have come out, I will have launched a second brand as well, which is very exciting. Yes, I am starting.
Are you sharing about
Yes. I think this might be an exclusive, Ada.
I like to get the scoop, you know.
So I am launching a web design agency. So it's called Sassy and Soft, and I'm building the website for it at the moment. And basically, I have been teaching this stuff for 12 years. But alongside that, I have also been doing it for other people. And I don't really advertise it. And I was like, why don't I advertise it? Oh, because I'm busy launching this course, or I'm doing that.
Right.
But I'm really streamlining my education side. So that's Maddie Shine. So I'm, you know, that's where I teach people how to do it themselves. And then Sassy and Soft is where I do it for you. So you'll be able to hire me to do your SEO. You'll be able to hire me to design your WordPress website, and or host your WordPress website, and or if you've already got it designed, I'll look after it for you and do the updates and all that jazz. So it's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to
launching that. Cool. And you're going to be, do you do this all by yourself? Are you like a one woman show?
I am a one woman show. Yes, I am a one woman show.
Impressive. And that's just WordPress, just to be clear, because there are a lot of people on Squarespace and Showit and stuff. So it's like WordPress.
Yeah. Just WordPress. Yes. So WordPress has always been the one that I specialize in. And so Invisible Vibes, we actually have resident experts on Shopify and, you know, other kind of website types, which for some reason the names have completely escaped me. We have resident experts in there. But on the agency side, yes, it's going to be WordPress only.
Amazing. And talk to us about your podcast, because you also have been doing this for a few years yourself. Yeah. Like, what's it called, and what can people expect from tuning into your episodes?
Yes. So my podcast is called Visibility Talks. I launched it in lockdown, and it used to be called the High Biz Podcast. But essentially, it's the same kind of framework, where I essentially speak to different women who have different kind of visibility expertise. We talk about, obviously, you know, they share their tips. We have a conversation about the visibility buffet, how we can't eat everything at the table, but we want to, and what's our sausage rolls, what's our favorites. And also we have a good conversation about simply what it's like to be a woman who runs their own business. I do think that, yes, there's a lot of people talking about female entrepreneurs sometimes, but I feel like there's this whole great big middle ground between just starting out and multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. Yeah. I feel like this huge field where actually most of us are hanging out. And I feel like those are the kind of conversations that I want to listen to, because they're much more relatable.
Absolutely. You know, there are some people out there like 6-7 years ago, that's where they were at and their content was there, and then they grew. And it's like their content now feels kind of out of touch.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And it's too far away. So like you said, there is space for that middle.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And in closing, I want to tell everybody that Maddie also has gifts, or gifts, however you say it, which are a whole lot of fun. I'm going to find them and start using them. I saw them on your website. I thought that is so much fun. And like, I just love the creativity of it. And just like, it's out there. Like, we don't have to take things so seriously always. And like, you know what I mean? Having fun in our business, showing that things are lighthearted, I think it's like such a huge thing. Put your personality in there. Don't be afraid. I will try not to be afraid myself. And Maddie, I appreciate your encouragement. If I do throw myself in the cold water and make a video in German, I'm going to send it to you.
Please do.
I hope I do. I'm trying to make myself accountable by saying this, but I really appreciate like everything you shared today. It's been amazing.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Ada. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode of My Wedding Season, the podcast. To be notified as soon as a new episode goes live, make sure that you subscribe. I'd love for you to write a comment or leave a review. Let me know what you want more of. For the show notes, head on over to www.wedding-photography-podcast.com. Cheering you on, and until next time.